Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back for a new episode of Collider Ladies Night Pre-Party, because we have someone that we're very excited to introduce you to right now. Lola Tung from The Summer I Turned Pretty. Oh, my. What a way to kick off an acting career.
Yeah, I mean, yes. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here and to talk about the show and everything.
We got a lot to get into. It's so exciting that this is your first credit. Like, you don't even have a Wikipedia page. Like, we are just here to learn about you. And there's something that is just so exciting about that to me.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I mean, I'm so grateful to, you know, have this be my first job, the thing that gets me my Wikipedia page, you know.
That's the goal for Ladies Night. If someone can use this as a blueprint for your Wikipedia page, I have done my job. It's for way more than that. But that's like, hey, at least a little something. All right. So every single Ladies Night, no matter how many credits someone has, always starts here. What is the movie, the performance, personal experience, you name it, that first made you say to yourself, I have to be an actor?
I think it was more of a personal experience, because I had always loved movies and shows and theater when I was little, but I don't think anyone had ever really guessed that I would be the one who wanted to be on stage or in front of the camera, because I was a pretty shy kid. So I think it was around, it was in sixth grade. I was in my all-school musical. I auditioned for The Wizard of Oz. I don't really know why I auditioned. I think I was kind of like, I want to try this out. And I played the Tin Man. And from there, I kind of was like, fell in love with the process. And loved being on stage and telling the stories and all of it. And I think that was the moment that sort of, you know, launched that, started that love for me.
Was there a moment in Wizard of Oz doing that performance, or maybe something that came after it, that made you feel like, not even just that you wanted to act, but like, whoa, like I'm actually really good at this?
It was probably not during Wizard of Oz, because as a sixth grader who had never performed before, I don't know how how amazing I was, but I think, you know, it was just like the thrill of being on stage and, you know, making people laugh. And I remember like my parents being so excited afterwards, and you know, my dad was a musician for a little while, and my mom sort of dabbled in acting for a little bit, so they were both artists, and they were so happy that, you know, I had found something that I really loved, and I was so happy too, because nothing made me feel the way that performing did.
That's so wonderful. I love hearing about family support like that, because I deeply value that in my own life.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you decide, I want to be an actor. When you made that decision, what did you envision the first step being in terms of getting from the want to actually starting a career? And then was that first step that you thought should be it, did it turn out to be the right move to make?
I don't know what I thought the first step was. I feel like there's no there's no really correct path to take when it comes to something like this. And I mean, I think for a while too, when I started acting, especially in middle school, you know, I was like, this is something I really want to do, but you know, maybe there, I also have other interests because I'm 12 or 13 years old and I'll explore those a little too. And then I think when I realized that was the thing that I loved most, I was like, okay, I'm going to continue to go to school for this and make this sort of my main focus, I guess. So that's when I went to LaGuardia High School in the city for drama. And then I was studying drama every single day. And that was like most of, I guess, you know, I mean, we had our other required classes as well. But I think that's when I started to be like, all right, I'm going to keep training and trying to learn more and learn from my peers and my teachers and try to get as much theater experience as I can and see more theater, because it's so important to, you know, see other artists. And if you're, if you have the privilege to, I mean, I was so fortunate to be able to see so much live theater living in New York City. But yeah, it was just about, you know, yeah, watching other artists do their thing and then me sort of continuing to work on my craft as well.
This is kind of backtracking now a little bit, but who's the first actor that was like your end goal, someone you said to yourself, like, I want to be just like that actor when I grow up?
Oh man, I don't I don't know. I mean, I remember seeing I think I saw a couple Broadway shows when I was in middle school, and I saw Les Mis when I was auditioning for LaGuardia, because I sang a Les Mis song for my LaGuardia, like the vocal side of the audition. And I remember watching those actors, and specifically the actor who played Eponine. I think her name was Brennan Lark. And she was so wonderful. And I remember watching her and just like, because I sang one of Eponine's songs and being like, oh my God, I want to do that. And I want to be up there. And she's so amazing. And I think that's like, that was the first thing that came to mind, I think, because I just admired, I don't know, the theater actors so much. Just I loved watching them, and I wanted to be in that position, you know.
Correct me if I'm wrong on any of this, but I was reading that you got a manager due to a virtual senior showcase. Can you explain what the showcase is? And also, is getting a manager from something like that typical, or were you just totally surprised when that call came in?
So at LaGuardia, there's usually a showcase for the drama students at the end of the year who, you know, have an interest in continuing acting after high school. And usually it's in person. But we sent in videos, just videos from, I was in my bedroom, you know, filming a monologue. And usually I think a couple students get responses and start, you know, working with different people. But it was really funny because my manager had reached out to me like a couple months after the showcase had happened. I was in my second semester of my first year of college, actually, and she reached out to me and sort of wanted to start working together and had this audition and everything. And I think it was really cool. I mean, you know, you never know what's going to come from those things, and you never know when it will happen, because it could be, you know, the time isn't right at that moment. And then a couple months later, the time is right. So she reached out to me and we started working together, and she's awesome. And she had this audition, and that was the start of it all.
Yeah. So your first ever professional audition was for this show that you booked.
It was, yes.
How? That is absolutely wild. So given that, did your manager or anyone else in your life have some advice for you in terms of jumping into that? And was there anything about the audition process that like caught you by surprise?
I mean, all of it was over Zoom, which was very interesting and very, you know, I mean, we were all getting used to that, but it was also sort of all that I had known, because I had never done an audition like that before or gone through an audition process like that before. I think it was a really great learning experience and a great process. And Jenny Han, the creator of the books in the series, was so wonderful and lovely throughout all of it, and so were the rest of the producers. And Jesse Peretz, one of the directors, was on it as well, and he was so wonderful too. And I think it was just so cool for me to get to read with so many different actors, and to be like going to my classes and then coming home from school and jumping onto the Zooms and learning how to, you know, manage my time and just go through this process like that. It was a great learning experience in general, I think.
I have so many follow-up questions. First one is choosing between working versus school, or I'm not sure if maybe you were able to balance both, but when you actually booked the role and the opportunity was there, was it a no-brainer, like, I have to take this and run with it? Or was there any concern that, like, maybe school should be the top priority now?
I think once I booked the role, it was sort of like, this is the thing that I'm going to do. But of course, there was so much internal conflict, I think. And for so long, school was my main priority. And it was something that, like, you know, I was like, this is something I have to do, going to college, just for myself. Not that anyone else has to do that. Everyone has a different path, which I've learned now, you know. But I think for myself, I'd wanted to go to school and to keep learning and to, you know, further my education. And when I got that first call that they wanted me to test for the role, that was sort of like wait a second, is this something that could actually, and I mean, that was still early on as well, but it was sort of like a taste of like what could happen. So I think for a little while, I was so thrilled and so excited and so happy that my teachers ended up being so incredibly supportive, and that I got to finish my freshman year too. I think that was something that I really wanted to make sure I got to do. But in the end, I think, you know, I'm happy with the choice I made, and I'm happy that I have all of the tools that I got from school and that I can go back to school if I want to. And, you know, life throws you curveballs sometimes. And I was lucky that I got such a great one thrown my way, you know.
Same thing in that department. You should be very proud of what you did and what you accomplished on this show, but the possibilities are always there whenever you feel like it's the right time. That's what's so awesome about all this. So going back to the audition process now, I know you said that it was on Zoom, at least to start. Were you ever able to get in person in a room, especially for chemistry reads?
No, we weren't. Everything was on Zoom. Oh. Yeah, the chemistry reads were all on Zoom.
All right. Well, I can understand that. In the case of chemistry reads with Christopher and Gavin in particular, because obviously the chemistry between the three of you is of the utmost importance to this show, even through Zoom, were you able to feel the difference reading with the two of them compared to other actors who read for those roles? Was there that special spark there, even through the computer?
Yeah, I do think so. I think, you know, I remember, I think the first time I read with Chris, they actually made us read, like, I read with him and a couple other people, and they kind of made us read together again. And I was like, what does this mean? I remember being kind of like intimidated because he was really cool over Zoom. And I was like, oh, I guess that's perfect for the Belly Conrad dynamic. But I think you can still tell. And I mean, obviously it's harder to have the same flow of conversation and flow of a scene that you would have in person, but can always tell if people have a little bit of a connection, or, you know, and I think they did a great job, and I love both Gavin and Chris, so I feel very grateful that it worked out the way that it did.
All right, moving past the audition phase now to actually hitting the set, what is the most useful piece of advice that you got about making your first TV show?
I guess two things. Take care of myself, to make sure you're really taking care of yourself, and to just be present and in the moment and doing the work and being there and like enjoying it. And it goes by fast, and it's can be, you know, very long days and very long hours, and it can be stressful sometimes, obviously, but I think I, you know, was so lucky to be surrounded by such incredible people and actors, and I really had to, you know, not be in my head and just live in that moment and soak it all up, and also take care of myself, get a lot of sleep, because, you know, I think it can be hard, especially when you like are in bed and go into the little social media hole on your phone, and then all of a sudden it's, you know, like 1 o'clock in the morning. But
I'm very guilty of that very often. It's great. So to flip that around a little, you first hit the set, your first big set ever. Was there any like seemingly silly questions about the way that a TV show is made that you were afraid to ask because it felt like something you should have known and you didn't know who to ask the question to? Something that everyone, you know, should have the courage to be able to ask about.
You know, I don't think so. I think like everybody knew it was my first time being on the set and being like in that environment. And everyone was so cool. Like the crew was so cool, and the directors were so cool. Everyone was amazing. And I think, you know, we all got to a point, like, I just felt very comfortable asking questions because that was, you know, that's how you learn. That's how you get better at things. And even if you think it's a stupid question, if it's something you want to know, then you know for the future, and you can, you know, you can be the smart one in the room who knows it.
if only I had spoken to you at the very beginning of my career, then I wouldn't have been like super self-conscious and afraid to ask really silly things.
Oh, believe me, of course, I was still very much self-conscious and very worried to, you know, afraid I was going to mess something up. But yeah, I was glad that I felt so comfortable on set.
I always love talking about the value of a good scene partner, and you have many of them on this particular set here. It makes me curious, though, of everybody in the ensemble of this show, whose processes are like the most polar opposite, like the way they approach the material? Which two people have two completely different ways of going about it?
You know, I don't really know. I think that sort of thing is kind of like, I don't know, not personal, but I feel like it's so specific to each person. And there are some things that you just do on your own time that, not that we didn't really talk about it, but that, like, you know, that just kind of happen on your own time in your own little bubble. But I do remember having a conversation with I think Gavin and Chris and Sean about like how we all work. And I think we all just sort of approached it a little bit differently, because that's only natural. We're different people, you know, with different experiences. And I mean, for me, I was constantly like journaling specifically about my relationships with each of the other characters. And I had like a whole page dedicated to each of them, and Belly's relationship with each of them. And music was a big part of that. And I do think like music was a big part for most of us. But I'm not sure who had the most different.
Awesome. Well, that's the most exciting thing about all this. And I feel like everyone having a different way to tackle the work is what keeps everyone growing too, because you get the opportunity to witness something that maybe you wouldn't have considered yourself, and you could try it on a future project. With that in mind, I'm actually going to throw that to you right now. Is there anything you saw anyone do on this set and you think like, what a cool technique? I'm going to try that down the line.
Well, Sean always does, who plays Steven, my brother, he always does his morning stretches, and always will do, like, will carve out the time, maybe like 15 minutes or so, to like have a whole little warm-up routine. And I think it's the acting school in him that, you know, it's so great. And like, I did it with him one morning, and I feel like I get so easily distracted, and it's such a good way to ground yourself. And I was like, I need to start doing that more often.
I feel like no matter what kind of work you do, if we all woke up in the morning and actually did some stretches, we would be better off.
I agree.
All right. So we're going to play a very quick little game. I want to ask you some cast superlatives. So like high school superlatives, but some of them are filmmaking specific. So of everyone in this ensemble, who would you label the life of the party? The person who like would hit set and then all of a sudden the energy would go through the roof.
Oh man, maybe Gavin. He's got a great energy about him. He's got, you know, smile lights up the room.
I mean, I can confirm that he has that effect on the finished product as well. Here's a little bit of a big one. Who would you say is most changed like in terms of what they were like when they hit the set and then how they grew throughout the entire process of making season one.
I don't, that's hard because when you spend every day with a bunch of people, you don't see the change as much because it feels so consistent and so natural. You know, I don't, maybe me. I mean, Jenny always talks about how she feels like the first day, she looks at like pictures of my face on the first day and she says that my face looks different at the end of filming, and not in like a, like, oh, you look like a whole different person, but she just says that there was some growing up that happened and she can see it in my eyes or something, which I think is really sweet. And I would agree with that. I think, you know, I grew up with Belly that summer. So
that's a really beautiful answer. I love that. All right, here's a fun one. You throw a big house party. Who is the most likely to stay until the end and actually help you clean up?
Maybe my first instinct was to say Sean or Summer, who plays Nicole. Yeah, they're both just so lovely, and I feel like would stay till the end. And also Nicole, or Summer, who plays Nicole. Nicole throws the party in the show. I'm about to say that.
Don't worry. If you want to say any spoilers, you totally can, and we could label it and. No one has anything to worry about.
Yeah, an episode 3 moment. I don't know if saying the exact episode makes it better or worse.
It's fine. It's fine. We expect these characters to throw house parties.
Right. Right. Yeah. It's a very lovely house party too. But yeah. So maybe that's influencing my answer.
Well, it's a good quality to have in a friend. So they both get points in my book. I'll give you one more with this game here. So. Who would you say is the most likely to surprise you on set with an on-the-spot creative choice?
Ooh. Maybe Gavin again. Maybe Gavin. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, now I'm going to ask you for an example, and I'll put up the spoiler warning for this so you can freely talk about whatever you want. Everyone's going to binge the show in a flash, so I have a feeling people will be caught up anyway, but warning just in case. So... is there an example of a scene that changed the most because of something he did on the spot and it changed for the better?
You know what? I actually might have to change my answer because I thought of a great example from someone else.
Okay, let's hear it.
Sean had a big moment where he surprised me. Sean, and it's actually a moment that's in the trailers, but it's, I think, in episode 6. There's a moment where Steven is yelling at Belly because she leaves her hair in, like, the shower drain. And Sean walked out and he was like, stop leaving your hair in the drain. And he threw it in my face. And I had no clue that that was going to happen. I think I knew he was going to like give it to me or something, but he decided to throw it in my face that take. And I definitely broke when I yelled at him in the take, and they might've used it. But yeah, that was a big moment.
That is hands down one of the most like believable, relatable sibling dynamics that I've seen in TV. Like, and for the record, I am not the one to leave the hair in the shower. That would be my sister. And when we lived together, this was an issue.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Me and my sister too. It's such an issue in our household as well. Yeah, that was a fun moment.
All right. Here's a big old spoiler question for you. So Belly makes a lot of very big decisions, and sometimes they come from, you know, being an impulsive teenager. Of all of like the game-changing decisions that she makes throughout season one, is there any in particular that you really needed to talk through? Like whether it was with Jenny, a director, a writer, you name it, just something where you needed, you know, an extra level of clarity or understanding in terms of what was driving her to make that choice?
I mean, if we really want to get into spoilers.
Oh yeah, you're free to. Go for it. Yeah.
The last episode, the last scene of the last episode, if I'm allowed to talk about this.
Go for it. I want to hear this.
Yeah, well, that was just a big, I think, discussion that, you know, Chris and I were very curious just because there's so much going on in that episode between every single, you know, one of the family members and Belly and Jeremiah, and then everything happening with Susanna because she's, you know, dealing with this, everyone finding out about the news that she has, that her cancer has come back. So we were just like very, we really wanted to make sure that it didn't feel like a rushed ending of some sort, or that they were just coming together to have these two characters come together. We really wanted to make sure that it was, you know, like these two characters not only need each other, but want to be with each other in this moment, because this is something that's, you know, been, it's a long time coming, and this is the moment that it had to happen, and that these two characters had to come together. And we really wanted to make sure that, you know, it felt genuine and it felt right in this moment. So we did have a discussion about that, I think. And it was nice that I was able to, I think, talk to Jenny about that and talk to Chris about it too. Cause he, you know, he cares so deeply about the work that he's doing, which, you know, I admire so much. So yeah, we just had a discussion about that and really making sure that it was like, there's a reason for like this timing and that it's happening right now.
You feel it when you're watching. It's very impressive. And sometimes I have a difficult time with love triangles, because there's usually like a clear favorite or a very clear connection. But you all do a very good job of, in the moment, making certain decisions feel right and then being able to pivot back. I was very impressed by all that.
Thank you so much.
All right. I'll ask you one season two question before we have a couple more fun questions to wrap this up. Well, is there any particular quality of Bellies that you're looking forward to exploring in season two, whether it's something you haven't tapped into yet or something that you've only scratched the surface of and really feel the potential in?
Yeah, that's a really lovely question. I was like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to answer anything about season two. That's really great. I think I'm really excited to, I mean, she did a lot of growing up over this first season, and she was figuring out so much. So I think she has a little bit more of a sense of self or sense of independence at the end of this. And she's definitely, you know, come a long way since the beginning of the summer. So I'm really excited to just explore all of that and where we left off, and that, you know, feeling of like a little bit more maturity maybe, and that feeling of having grown up a little bit and had experiences that that change you and you know, hopefully for the better. And she's made mistakes because she's a teenager, and it's all, and she's human, and it's only natural, but I think she's learned a lot from them. So I'm excited to keep exploring that aspect of her and her journey.
You can't grow unless you make mistakes. Plus, things are very boring when you don't make mistakes.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Let's get to know you a little more here. So in addition to filling out your Wikipedia page, I also want to fill out your IMDb trivia page, because there's nothing there and there's nothing that brings me more joy than looking at those pages and seeing like super random, like out of left field facts about people. So if you could add one really random thing about yourself to that page, what would it be?
Super random. I don't know. I really love dogs. I'm a dog person. I don't know if that's like random enough.
I feel like a love of pets is always the right answer to that question. Do you have a dog?
I do have a dog. He's 8 years old. No, he seems like a puppy still to me. And he's the best.
What kind of dog, and what is his name?
He's a rescue, so we're not completely sure, but we think Border Collie Lab mix. And his name is Bodhi.
Oh my God, sounds adorable. All right, let's go with, what is the last show that you've binge watched?
This is interesting. I feel like I've never fully like binge watched a show. I like sat down and watched something in one sitting. But I did watch season one of Russian Doll very quickly. And now I'm watching season two.
It's so good. She's so good at that role.
So good, and I had no clue what to expect when I started watching it, and I was just like, oh, wait a second, and we're in New York? That's great.
Oh, so you're a big New Yorker. You grew up in New York. Can you give me your favorite food spot in New York?
I will say, like, one spot that my friends and I always used to go to, and it closed during COVID, which we were so sad about, but there's a diner called Big Daddy's Diner, and we used to go all the time because it was just, like, a great meeting spot for, you know, a bunch of teenagers in high school and everything. And we were very sad when it closed. They had a great like grilled with mac and cheese in the middle.
I grew Rich up cheese. In New York. I moved to LA. There's no real diners in LA. Like I was obsessed with Cozy Soup and Burger by Astor Place. I used to go there every day for lunch in college. And there's just nothing like a real diner in LA.
And they're like kind of disappearing here too a little bit, which is sad. Or like in my, you know, around where I live. Where did you, you said you're from the city originally? Or
from Long Island. And then I went to college in Manhattan. I spent many a years there.
That's amazing. Oh my gosh.
It was amazing. I'll always be a New Yorker at heart, but LA's kind of. All right. I'll end with this one and then I'll let you go. If you could be on the game show of your choice, what show would you pick and could you actually win it?
I have no clue. I feel like I don't watch game shows that often.
Do you play like word games or anything? Are you into Wordle?
I'm totally into Wordle. I haven't done it in a while, but Mom and I were very much into Wordle for a long time.
I'm going to make the connection and say that you should be on Wheel of Fortune then. I feel like a word game.
Yeah. Okay. Why not, right?
That's also like my dream show too. So if I have to throw out an option, that's going to be the first one it is.
You got it. We'll do it together.
I'm down. Anytime you want, we'll sign up for Wheel of Fortune. All right, I gotta let you go. You have a whole bunch of celebrating to do this weekend. Congratulations. Seriously, you are phenomenal in this show, and I cannot wait to see more.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. This was really great.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.